this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful we could be back together again, Lord. Lord, not necessarily just to see each one, but Lord, to just gather around your table, because it's always so good to gather around it. Lord, we think about the earthly food and times we get together and gather around the table and how nice it is, Lord, but the spiritual is so far beyond that, and it's so good, Lord. Let's be as eager about it as we are about the earthly stuff, maybe far more, Lord. May you bless the word, Lord, as we go into it this morning. Help us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I got about 15 minutes from time to go this morning and went to save all my quotes. I had part one and part two already laid out, and Brother Don's predicament come upon me there where he'd lost them several times. And this one was because I was pushing it up to the cloud and the cloud's interface stuff broke. And it told me it was saving it and it wasn't. So 15 minutes till, I had no quotes at all. And the Lord let me remember every last quote and in the order I had them in and put them back together. So I appreciate him doing that for me, because my memory is no good. You can ask my wife, my memory is shot most of the time. And so he had to do that. I appreciate him helping me do that. And pray he'll help me with part two also. I remember several of those quotes, but I don't remember all of them. I brought a series on this at the church a while back. It's been a few years back. But the Lord has showed me so much more on this that I wanted to go back to it again and look at it again and just point out some of the other things that had stood out to me as I started to study in this. Believe it or not, this started way over in communion the last message Brother Branham preached, and I was reading some things there, and things started striking me there that I had not quite grasped before. And as I was looking at those things, I started thinking about other quotes and other things, and I ended up back here on this demand tree. And we're going to read that quote. There's only one time he ever mentioned that phrase, man tree. He talked about it other ways, but this is the first time that I'd ever seen him call it man tree. But not only this, he talks about the woman tree. And so let's read it here. But I wanted to bring this back to our mind. This is from the Church Ages book. And I'm sure everybody that's read the Church Ages book remembers this, because it stands out. Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the Word. And if you want deity in your midst, then welcome and receive the Word. That's the basis for everything. Receiving the Word. Don't ever let anyone or anything get between you and that Word. So receiving this Word is a personal thing. Which I have given you, the Word, is a revelation of myself. I am the Word. Remember that. So this is Brother Branham sort of speaking for Jesus and breaking it down for us to let us see this. So he's saying, if you're in the midst of the Word, you've welcomed it into your midst, then deity is amongst you. And when you step away from the Word, deity leaves you. That's the basis of the whole message. And so let's start here and let's look at this this first quote here from the trial. Lord, we believe this to be the last commission to the church. We believe that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we believe that any man is no better than his Word. So if you can't depend on something that a man tells you, then you can't depend on his Word's no good. That's what that means. And he's comparing it saying that if you can depend on what Jesus tells you, what his words are. I was just listening to him the other day. Brother Branham was talking about with something there in the message. He was looking at a scripture, and he was taking that scripture for absolute, verbatim, what it said. Oh, he was talking about Abraham and the things that happened with Abraham. And he was taking, if I think of it here in a minute, I want to give you that example, but let me come back to it just a minute. But he was talking about how infallible the word is, how that just accept it and let God make it happen for you. And if you take that word and just take it in, don't try to do anything with it. Don't try to make it happen. Remember how many times I know everybody's heard the quotes where he talks about that sheep don't manufacture wool. It bears wool. It don't do anything to make that wool come out. Amen. It's just part of the wool. It's part of the sheep that it comes out. Amen. And so that's what he's trying to say. You take the word that way. And the word is life. And we believe that any man is no better than his word. Therefore, if we believe that this word is you. Now, this is Brother Branham praying at the beginning of this service. And we believe that it is you, which the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now we all know that's near and dear to our hearts, that scripture. That he is the same yesterday, today, Amen. And forever. That brings him so near to you when you believe that. That he's the same. His word doesn't change. His promises are the same. And if you accept those that way, then he's present right now. There's no going around it. But we know that things happened and separated man from his presence. And so let's talk about that. Which the same yesterday, today, and forever, come today, O Father God, in the form of the word to us. And let the people see that thou art the risen Christ and raised in this last day in the form that you said you would be in. Let them see you proven what you said you was going to do, Lord. The manifested word. Not the spoken word. The manifested word. See, there was the spoken word, Isaiah 9:6. But the manifested word was Jesus walking on the grounds. So that's what he's telling us now. Now, we're not talking about that. He's talking about the manifested word, not the spoken word. He said, you said you would be in the manifested word. When you were on earth, you were the prophesied word manifested in a human form. So that's what we're just talking about. You were prophesied by the prophets, the spoken word. And now it's the manifested word. And the word is prophesied for this day. Come, Lord Jesus, and bring it to us today. He's not talking about give us another prophecy. He's talking about it's already been given. Now let's see it taking place is what he's trying to say. He is saying. The word is prophesied for this day. Come, Lord Jesus, and bring it to us today, the word. Now that's the prophet asking God to do this. Do you think he's not going to answer him? He's going to answer him. To the day, the word. Do your interpretation of the word. And what did Brother Ram say interpretation was? It's when he brings it to pass. You don't need any of us to bring it to pass. He brings it to pass. Do your interpretation of the word that we might have joy unspeakable and full of glory. When he interprets it, these things happen. Insomuch that we have found you pleasant and found your words true and confirmed in our hearts that we have passed from death unto life. Not only is he asking for him to come and show himself today, but he's also saying it's already taken place in your hearts. He's already doing the same thing there. We all who are born of that one tree in the Garden of Eden that was forbidden to be touched. The woman. Listen to that. We know we are all born But we're born needing salvation right away. All of us are born that way. And he's saying that we're born of that tree, the woman tree in the garden. And there's no life in her. So you can't stay like that. We, all who are born of that one tree in the Garden of Eden, that was forbidden to be touched, the woman, for in her there is no life. We're born of her, but there's no life. She only is an egg. The life come from the man, which was Christ. And we have been born of a woman, and as the Bible tells us, of few days and full of sorrow and trouble. Father, we have also been born of the life-giving from the man. Something far greater than this other life. Remember Brother Ram talking about the two William Branhams. The male comes to the female, and the germ is from the male. And as your spirit overshadowed the virgin, and in her womb was created the blood cell, the blood cell. He's talking about the man tree again. He's still talking about it. The blood tree, the blood cell, not Jewish, not Gentile, but God created blood. In that blood, we have our hopes. It's where it all rests, in his word. It was not of a woman, neither of a man. It was of God. So we pray today, Lord, as we have see ourselves partakers of the woman tree. They partook of the woman tree. Adam, Eve took of it, and then Adam took of it. And because of that, they're born with that same problem. They were marred by that to be the same problem. And we must die because there's no life in the woman. And he's going to talk about that further here in just a minute. We must die because there's no life in the woman. So I don't miss what he's saying here. He's talking about a whole string of life that come about that is nothing in that life but death. A whole string of human life that come along that there's nothing in it but death. That's all. Don't miss that. Because Satan can't create. So how did this whole string of life come about that was nothing in it but death? And we must die because there's no life in the woman. Now also, Father, we've been given the privilege to partake of the man tree. God's brought it to pass. He brought the man tree to pass. That was Christ. And he brought that life that we could partake of it. Father, we've been given the privilege to partake of the man tree, which was Christ. And now, through him, we have life. Only through him do we have life. There's no other way that you can have life except through him. And you don't have life through him, and then don't have life through him, and then have life through him again. That don't happen. Just flat doesn't happen. It was always going to come through Christ, period. With Christ. And now through him, we have life, life, the word, be made life among us. Grant it, Lord, that these things will become such a reality to the church that they will see and will understand the hour we're living. So that sounds like a requirement. They're going to have to see those things if you're going to recognize your day and its message. You have to. Now, I went back and pulled a little sentence out of the Church Ages book where Brother Branham said, "Now listen closely. God being a Savior, it was necessary that he predestinate a man who would require salvation." Remember, we just talked about that whole string of life, that there was nothing in it but death. He predestinated, it was necessary that he predestinate a man who would require salvation. God predestinated a man that would require salvation. He didn't create a man that required salvation. He predestinated a man that would require salvation. There's a difference. That he predestinate a man who would require salvation in order to give himself reason and purpose of being. So I have to restrain myself and not race ahead, because I want him to say it. See, if I ever come up here with my ideas and my thoughts, then I should sit down and never preach again. Ever. Not ever. Who do you say this is? Now, Eve wasn't sure. Adam told her, said, "Now God said, honey, that day you eat thereof, that day you die." So Adam's passing on the word to her. But they said, Satan said, "Surely that can't be right. You imagine a father would treat his children just a little fun, a thing like that? Surely it ain't so." He's talking about Satan, talking to Eve. And what did she finally turn? What did she finally turn? She turned to the surely. And this bride in this day, there's no way she can turn to the surely. No way possible. But that one did. Turn to the surely. And that's exactly what the church does today. So the church can't be the place where it's at now. That's exactly what the church does today. Oh, surely, we're a great church. We're a great people. We've been a long time. All this stuff that they call fanaticism out here, this stuff they call baptism of the Holy Ghost and all that nonsense. See, that there's no such a thing as that. Surely, I pay my tithes. I go to church. My mother went to the surely God. See, the surely is that whole string of life that there was nothing in it but death. The reasoning life. The life that tried to understand God with reasoning. But God said different. And that's the way it's going to be. Just in the taste of his word, he said that this Laodicea church age would be. I got a special book coming out on it pretty soon. The Lord willing, see, of this Laodicea to show that it's already over. The book is going to show that it's already over. And he's preaching this in June of 64. To show that it's already over, and she's already sealed in there. And Christ is on the outside. She's sealed into that death. She's sealed into that life, that whole string of life. That there's nothing in it but death. She sealed into that. She wanted it. She wanted that reasoning. She wanted the surely, as Brother Branham called it, that Eve wanted. She wants that. And so she sealed into that. Sealed into that judgment. Remember what he said in Invisible, Souls That Are in Prison, that he was preaching to those that could never receive it. They're sealed into that. They won't come away from it. They want it, and they won't turn loose of it. The Laodicea, to show that it's already over and that she's already sealed in there and Christ is on the outside. Never did he say he come back. Never did say he come back in again, you know. Once they're sealed out, once they put him out, that's it. He don't come back. So we find it today. You know, he doesn't come back, but he's still knocking. What did Brother Ram say? The souls in prison was preaching those that could never be saved. They're never going to open the door to him. Never did he say, he come back in again, you know. So we find it today putting the word out just as it always was. So Eve put the word out. They were in the presence of that tree, the man tree. He was right there in the garden. They were in the presence of it. And they put the word out of their presence. And so they put the tree out of their presence. They couldn't go back to it now. They couldn't stand in the presence of it. Brother Branham said that Adam was right there and he would look at that tree and know that his life was coming from that tree. And that one day he could partake of that tree. But he never said he took it. Never said he partook of it. That's why I just said a while ago, you don't partake of Christ and then lose Christ and then partake of him again. It don't happen. And God had one way for us to receive Christ. And that was through what happened. It was predestinated that way. He predestinated the first man because there needed to be a man that needed salvation. Now, we went over all these things. Never did say he come back in again. So we find it today putting the word out just as it always was. Now notice Moses, the anointed word, I hope you will understand when I say that he was the Messiah. He was the anointed word that had been promised for that day. The anointed word. So God had a way. He was still going to bring this Shekinah glory, this anointing, the life back somehow. But through the blood of the bulls and goats, they could still do this. They could still have prophets that brought a message. They could still have a priest that went into the temple ever so often. See, God is putting them back. That's his whole purpose, was to put them back into that presence. He was the anointed word that had been promised for that day. Moses was. Do you believe that? Sure. The word Messiah means anointed. Now Noah was the anointed of his day. Abraham had spoke that his people would sojourn 400 years in bondage, and they'd be brought out by a mighty hand, and that he'd show his signs and wonders and the generations that were coming on, and that would do, and what would do. So he's just, you know, how many times have we talked about how that he was Christ? He was Christ in part in Moses, in part in Elijah, in part in all these different ones. So he's just saying it a different way. It's the same thing. It doesn't mean that it's not God manifesting himself. No less than it was God manifesting himself in Luther and manifesting himself in Wesley. His signs and wonders and the generations that was coming on and what would do. And Moses stood there, that anointed word for that day. That's why he could put his hand in the bosom. He was the anointed word for the day. When was he anointed? He stayed out on the backside of the desert for 40 years before he ever walked up into that tree, walked up into that presence of God. God making a way to put that anointing on the word for that day. Why he was standing in the presence of God. Amen. The great Shekinah glory all around him. Every move he made represented God. That's where the church ought to be standing now. Right. Instead of that, we're off on some tantrum of some denominational something. Now, he's not talking about we ought to all be standing on Moses' message. But we ought to be all standing in the presence of the Shekinah glory, is what he's saying. But Moses had been attracted, and he come aside. And there was the pillar of fire hanging there in that bush. And there stood Moses anointed. No doubt, that man didn't even know what he was doing. The symbols that he was given when he stood there with the shepherd's staff, and know that would be a rod in the wilderness. It turned into a serpent, then become an atonement. The serpent did in the wilderness. He's talking about him having that rod right then when he walked into the presence of God there at that burning bush. And that all this time later, that would be a serpent that would turn into a serpent. And then it would be put on the rod for their healing and being shown. The serpent would be put on the rod.
all the things that they'd done. They were signs and voices speaking to the people. Signs and voices speaking to them, telling them. See, there was something was connected with him. See, that he couldn't bring Christ to them, but he could bring Moses to them. See, and that's what he's talking about. There was something was connected with him. And Moses might not even know it himself, but he was anointed, the anointed word of the day. He was the anointed messenger. So if he was the messenger of that hour, he was the Messiah of the hour. He wasn't the Messiah, but he was the Messiah of the hour. He was the anointed one. He's where the anointing was right then. Now he, Joshua and Caleb, was the believers in the group. Notice, and tried to teach others the truth. But see, Satan, Dathan, and Korah caused others to perish in the wilderness. Now, what was the trouble? God had called Moses. He didn't want to go. Those prophets had such things to do till they, it was a hard thing to do. He didn't want to go. He even tried to tell God that he couldn't talk. So let Aaron be his prophet, he said. It was a hard thing to do. They didn't want to be going out and being scorned at. They wanted to have fellowship and go in with the rest of them and go along with brothers. See, you know, every time he starts talking about the Moses, the prophet, I know he's talking from experience. He's talking from his own experience as a prophet of how he would like to do this and he would like to be these things, but he was chosen for this other thing. I forget what prophet it was. He said, I don't want to do this, in other words, but my whole heart will catch a fire. God has spoken and I must deliver it. Whether they like it, whether they crucified him, whether they stoned him, whatever they did, God has spoken his heart and he must say it. This man born in sin before salvation came to us, God was still able to come upon the predestinated word for that day in this man and bring this message about. Bring this word that they had to receive. That was the anointed word. They had to take it. There was no way around it. According to Dathan, they tried to go around it. And he must say it, not to be different, but be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice, hearkening unto the fat of rams. See, it was in his heart. He must do it. It was his life. He couldn't hold it. There was something, a pulsation that pushed them. They couldn't push them, the prophets. They couldn't bless it or curse it. God had so much complete control of them till he was their voice, their action. Hallelujah. Now, all this is happening in the Old Testament. It's all God bringing us back to Christ, bringing us back to the tree, because the tree has to be a man. Give me a church that's so completely anointed with God till their every action and move is thus saith the Lord. He's asking for that. Then that must be what God wants, because he can't say something that God don't want. And God doesn't say. Anointed with God till their every action and move is thus saith the Lord. Walk in that Shekinah glory. I'll show you a Messiah, anointed one of God, standing upon the earth. If you walk in that Shekinah glory, I'll show you one. I'll show you that. There stood Moses by this burning bush and the Shekinah glory, standing there anointed. He didn't know what he was doing hardly. You see that operating? He wasn't operating by this thing. He didn't know what to do. He was just doing what the Spirit told him to do. Sometimes, you know, there's two sections in this message that I pulled the quotes out and put them in here, and I knew this was going in this message. I knew that this was supposed to be here, but I couldn't tell you what was in that quote for that reason. Why did I want know that that should be in there. I couldn't have told you until I sat down and started praying and started looking through there and still couldn't see it. And there's been times that I've looked at quotes for years and knew there was something in there, like we talked about the other day, knew there was something in there and I couldn't see it. And I'm not going to add my own idea to it just so I can start talking about it. I waited and I looked at it for a long time. At this, I just pulled these the other day. And I don't know why. It was just something in there and I pulled it and put it back in here. And ever since then, I've been looking at it a little bit. And then it started to open up to me yesterday. Standing there anointed, he didn't know what he was doing hardly. He was just obeying what the voice said. Now, that don't make me special. That better be every child of God is that way. Maybe not necessarily a quote, but there's word. For Brother Branham said, there's an answer to every question you got. Everything you run up against in life, there's something here for you. It's there. And if God says it's there and we believe it's there and we lay on that till that answer comes, like Job laid on the ash heap, it'll come. But we have to be convinced or we won't stay on that ash heap. We'll get so tired, we'll start running around trying to find something to take care of our bowls or something. We'll try to do this and try to do that. We won't just sit there and wait on him. We'll let Satan talk us into, well, maybe that quote didn't mean this. Maybe he didn't mean that. God means what he says. And so he means what he says. And we have to rely on that. That's what I'm talking about when he's talking about Moses didn't hardly know what he was doing. He didn't know what it meant that he was sticking his hand into his bosom inside of his and then pull it out and had leprosy. He didn't know what that meant. And then he told him to put it back in. He pulled it back out and it was healed. He had no idea what that meant. But God was writing his Bible and Moses just done what he was told to do. And we are going to do the same thing, not by this thing, but by listening to what he said and just do it. Amen. Obedience. Just do it. Just accept it and do it. If you want deity in your midst, welcome him. Look up that word welcome. See what that word welcome means. Welcome him into your, welcome that word into your midst. Not just some of it, that won't work. He's all of it. Standing there anointed, he didn't know what he was doing hardly. He was just obeying what the voice said do. Stick your hand in your bosom, pull it out. Take up the rod, turn it into a serpent. Throw it back down again. No matter what anybody else said, he was doing it. Said, Lord, show me your glory, and I'm ready to go to Egypt. I'm not an eloquent man. I can't speak well, but you just let me see your glory. And he showed it to him. He's talking about when he went past him and he saw the backside of a man. And he went down and took those things, besides all the stuff that God done after that. And he went down and took these same things and to show that he was the anointed Messiah. That man picked up dirt. That man picked up dust off the earth and throwed it into the air. And flies and fleas flew out of that dust and covered the earth. No man can do that. I don't care how many magicians say they got magic and they can do this and that. No, nobody can do anything like that except God. And so God was proving who it was that was taking them out. That it wasn't Moses. It was God in him, Moses. What could create but God? Took water out of the river and poured it upon the bank. And every drop of water throughout Egypt turned to blood. What could do that but God? What was it? He was so completely surrendered to God's anointed word till he was the Messiah. He was the word to them. The Egyptians tried to turn it down this way. The unbelievers tried to turn it down. The make-believers tried their scheme. But God's word took them right straight on to the promised land. No matter how much anybody tried to stop it, the word was still going. That's right. They were anointed. He was the Messiah. Now the question comes up out in the wilderness. Here's where it brings. See, now I want you to watch, my brethren. Now remember, these people enjoyed them blessings. Now he's really going to ratchet it down here. Now remember, these people enjoyed them blessings. They enjoyed the preaching of this prophet, this anointed one. They believed him. They followed him. But there rose up in the wilderness one by the name of Dathan and one by the name of Korah, and they said, this has got to be a one-man affair. In other words, they're not saying it should be a one-man affair. They're saying it's gotten down to being a one-man affair, and they don't like it. Moses, thinking he's the only one God's called. Now, we know how that works about the one man. Went over that. But Brother Bram's going to hit it some more here. That one-man message, they didn't want it. This man was the message, and they didn't want it. He was the message. Brother Bram said, Paul come in power and demonstration, and that meant he was the word. And they didn't want him. It's because they had no predestination. There was nothing there that was representing. That one man message, they didn't want it. No, they didn't want it. And God never did deal with one person at a time. It's always a one man message. The message comes by one man. When did ever he deal with the people outside of just one person? When did he ever send more than one prophet at a time? Remember how many times Brother Ram said that? He never sent two prophets at the same time, ever. Two major prophets. When did he ever deal with the people outside of just one person? It's an individual. It ain't a group. You're responsible to God, each one of you. There's not some other man that's responsible for you. You are responsible for you. You're responsible to God, each one of you. You say, oh, I believe it. You just entertain it. You entertain a thought. Now, that's what he just got through talking about, these people right back here. He said they enjoyed the preaching of the prophet, and they believed him and they followed him. But he's saying here, you're just entertaining it. That's pretty close, brother and sister. That's pretty close. That's all that string of life that there's nothing but death in it. That's all it can do. Once God's left that in this day and he's went into the supernatural, that's all there is. Here's a woman standing here. I'm a young man waiting to get married. He's painting you a picture. She meets my specifications in every way. She's a lovely Christian. She looks like one. She dresses like one. She acts like one. She lives like one. I'll admit, she'd make me a good wife. But she isn't mine until I take her for mine. We're not his until he takes us for his. Remember, Brother Don read that quote before the service. He accepts you. That's the way the message is. You can sympathize with it and say it's right. There's way too much of that that goes on in this message. The message churches are full of people like that. I hate to say it because it's horrible. And I was one of them, sitting there doing the same thing for a long time. You can sympathize with it and say it's right, but you got to take it yourself to become part of it. Welcome him into your presence. If you want deity, you welcome the word into your presence. You can't do that without faith. You don't even know what the word is without faith. But you got to take it yourself to become part of it. Then you and the message become one. All them people who accepted Luther in his day, they become one with the message of that day. Everywhere they went, Luther's message went. Wesley, the same thing. Pentecost, the same thing. And what about this one? When Brother Branham said, there's three stages to perfection. There's justification, sanctification, baptism in the Holy Ghost. Then comes the rapture, he said. So where are we now? There's those that sealed into the churches, sealed into Wesley and Luther and Pentecost. They're sealed into that now when God's left it. But there's another message outside of this, and there's people that sealed into this other message, the rapture. Then you and the message become one. Then the anointing's with you as it is with the others. Now, this message here is from 61, the true Easter seal. And I have some other quotes later whenever we're back, and we'll go into more after this. But there's some striking things in this message. So let's go through it. Christ died at Calvary. How that he went up to that cross. I was reading a little book here not long ago that on to some kind of research. And in this research, I found something most startling. I sit down and I laid the book down and I raised up my hands and praised God. Got up and walked around a little bit and sat down and read it again. And I thought, oh, is that so? That on this same hill where Jesus was crucified, Adam died and was buried on the same hill that Jesus died on. Now, that's striking to him to think that the first Christ or the first Adam died right here. And this is so incredible that Jesus died right there to pay for that. I thought, oh, is that so? That on this same hill where Jesus crucified, Adam died and was buried on the same hill that Jesus died on. And was buried on the same hill where Adam died. He died on Golgotha and was buried on Golgotha. And I thought, what appropriate, whether it was right or wrong, how appropriate it is that that would be the case, he said. Let's say it was right. Let's say that's true. That where Adam died 6,000 years, well, what would it be? 5,000 years before that, this is where Jesus died, the same place. Let's say it's right. Then the first Adam died and was buried, and there yet in the dust, because he represented the world and the people to sin. He was yet, this. I love this, because you think about it. Adam's just dust now, laying at the foot of this cross. Adam's just dust. He represents the sin of the world because he sold us. Brother Bram said, God laid the blame on Adam. He sold us. And there, his ashes are laying there at the foot of the cross. The first Adam died and was buried, and there yet in the dust because he represented the world and the people to sin. But the second Adam, being the God of heaven, the second Adam, the God of heaven, when he died on Golgotha, there wasn't enough earth to hold him there. He rose up the third day and is alive forevermore. But that's where the blood spilled down is what I'm talking about, down on those ashes of Adam. But the sin problem was settled. God settled the sin problem there at Calvary. That's where the debt was paid. And when this Adam, second Adam, died, he paid the debt of sin for the human race, and the world put him in a tomb and sealed him up in that tomb. And they would do the same today. See, they're trying to push him away and make him some God in the past and not now. They can't believe that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They're trying to make him something back there. And they would do the same today. They're trying to do the same today. I don't want you to miss this. The word is trying, the world is trying, and it will get worse all the time. This trying to make him something else, and not now, not present. It'll get worse and worse, he says. They're trying to seal Christ back into the tomb again. They're trying to make him a baby this time of the year. They're okay with the baby because the baby can't preach yet. They're trying to make him a historical God, one that walked in days and gave power to disciples to heal the sick and cast out the devils. But what did they do? As soon as they thought they had got rid of him, just like Cain did when he thought he got rid of Abel, they sealed him in a tomb and put him in there. And today they're trying to keep Christ in the tomb. They're trying to keep him sealed up. Now, he ain't using the word sealed for no reason. It's very important what he's talking about. And today they're trying to keep Christ in a tomb. But oh, what an Easter morning done. An Easter morning ruined all their theology. And when an Easter morning came for a people, a church here, 1900 years later, what'd he say? Did you catch that? And on an Easter morning came for a people, a church here, 1900 years later. And it ruined their theology. When Christ come 1900 years later, it's ruined their theology. Don't miss that. That's so good. This message in 61 is brushing up so close to the seals. It's brushing really close up. And it ruined their theology. He's not dead. He's alive forevermore. They cannot keep him in no tomb. You can put him in a Methodist tomb or a Baptist tomb or a Presbyterian tomb or whatever you want to. But he raised out of that tomb and is alive today. All those doctrines and all those dogmas and all those things that were off the word, he raised up out of those. They tried to bury him in that. And that was Satan. We found out. And that's what he's pointing at. Satan was burying those. Satan was making those doctrines. Brother Ram said after every messenger, after he died, within a few years, they were starting to denominate Satan, moving in and doing it. Even in the first age, Brother Branham said that they were right there and they had already started to drift away. Remember what he said in the Church Ages book, I have aught against you. You know, they've already started to lean to men. When he said it's an individual affair. I had a Baptist tomb and you might have had a Methodist tomb, but one day Jesus raised from there. Who raised from there? From the Baptist tomb and the Methodist tomb? Jesus raised from it. From a historical God to a living, present God, live forevermore. Something taking place on that Easter morning. It was a seal, a satisfied seal. When he rose up that morning, something had taken place. A seal had been satisfied. Now, he's not talking about one of the man-made seals. He's talking about something else. When they took him and put him in the tomb and put a Roman seal on it, on top of it, but when that hour arose, when the hour come, he stayed there for a while. It's true. He stayed there for those 3 days and nights. But on that set time when the scripture said, hallelujah, on the time when he said, destroy this body, and on the third day, I'll raise it up again. Jesus prophesying what's going to happen to Jesus. Destroy this body, and on the third day, I'll raise it up. Then there's nothing can stop that scripture. The words of life come out of this man's mouth. And in 3 days, nothing's going to stop it from taking place. Remember what he said about the bride standing in that Shekinah glory. Then there's nothing can stop that scripture. It's got to come to pass. And that seal was broken. And he rose up the same Jesus alive again forevermore. And for some 1900 years, or maybe I'll say 14 or 1500 years, the churches has had him sealed away. But he said, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. There's nothing going to stop it. They're not going to be able to seal this that's coming in the last days away. They're not going to be able to stop it. They sealed it off when it was in Paul's day in that message. And it went down in the ground and died. But they're not going to seal this off. They can't shut this up. This is in 61, brother and sister. Think about it. There's nothing going to stop it. there will be light in the evening time. And remember when we went over that in Shalom, how he talked about that, that the light was here. Peace. The light is here. It's gross darkness on the people. They're sealed in. They're sealed like we just talked. They're sealed into that church age. But there's light on God's people. There will be light in the evening time. The works that I do show you also. It shall be light in the evening time. I don't care how many seals you try to put over it. God will break every seal. He broke the seal of the tomb. He broke the seal of hell. He broke the seal of death. He broke the seal of the grave and arose forevermore. He's breaking all the seals. Christ breaking all the seals. Moses didn't break the seal. Moses gave them blood of bulls and goats and the law. He didn't break the seal. He was just a step to the seals being broken. He broke the seal of the grave. He arose forevermore triumphant over the grave, death, hell, tombs, and every man-made thing there was to show that he was God. He broke every man-made thing that there was. Every man-made idea, he broke it. There was to show that he was God and cannot be sealed away from the people anymore. He could not be sealed away from them, not from his people. He was God and cannot be sealed away from the people anymore. God forevermore, nothing can hold him. The grave couldn't be dug deep enough. Hell couldn't be hot enough. Oh, nothing could hold him. He broke every seal with that great Christmas seal, or not Christmas seal, but Easter seal that he was sealed with. And he said, the same seal that I wear, you wear also. The same seal that I wear, you wear also. For this seal that I wear, it shall do the same things when you're sealed. So the same anointing that's on him is the one that's on us. For he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, even greater than this shall he do, for I go unto the Father. How are you going to keep it down? What can people do about it? You are forced to a decision. Everybody's forced to a decision. You know, you talked about those that are sitting around entertaining it. They'll be forced to a decision. Everybody's forced to a decision. To make your decision what to do about it. That's exactly right. Now we find that no seal could hold him. He come forth. God broke the seal of the tomb, broke the seal of death, broke the seal of hell, broke the seal of the grave, and come forth triumphant. What did it? What broke all these seals? What overcome everything that Satan threw at him? The great seal that was on the inside of him had broke all these other seals that had been put on man and been put on keeping him from the presence so that only the priest could go into the Shekinah glory. What did it? That great seal that was on the inside of him. They could destroy the body, but they could never destroy that seal. Destroyed one prophet, there raised up another. They kept destroying. But God gave them something that they cannot destroy. It's the supernatural spirit. It's the Holy Spirit itself. And it's infallible and it's imperishable. It cannot be destroyed. It'll live on and on and on. Because he lives, we live with him. Because we're sealed into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. No way, no way to ever be destroyed, cannot perish, but this eternal life, but has eternal life. Amen. God's great ripping of them seals. He was the seal that was broke. Jesus was the seal. He was the seal. He was life. God broke the seal on life. But it wasn't finished. It was finished, but God had to now get it to the people.
All right, this is in a message, Shalom. And I just wanted to pull this in to show you something. All these things that are taking place before this new birth. All this that was taking place in the Old Testament, God was doing it with people who were not born again. Brother Ram said there was no Holy Ghost. But yet here was Moses in the presence of the Shekinah glory. Brother Ram said it was all around him. And God made a way for it. And then these priests that went into the temple, he said they went into the temple and they went down in there and there was the Shekinah glory. Only they could go in. Only under certain circumstances could they go in. If they had any hidden sin, they were dead. Right then, that's why they tied a rope to them when they went in. And if they had something hidden, they dropped dead and they pulled them out by the rope. Because nobody else could walk in there. He was supposed to have been the one to go in. But now the temple veil was rent. And what did Brother Bram say do? He released. Now you could come and sit in the Shekinah glory again. The baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost proved that. He poured it out on them. The Shekinah glory, the Holy Ghost, the pillar of fire. Light. Now listen, what was happening all that time? I was speaking about that. So now let's read this little quote here and let's see what Brother Bram said was happening here before Jesus died. There stood Judas, light shining up there. Here, but back in his heart was dark seed. And when the showdown come, the darkness showed. When he had to make his decision, he was in that anointing. He was around him, the anointed, all the time. And he wouldn't make his decision. And finally, he made his decision. But now here's this little woman who hadn't even been around him. But when she gets in his presence, we know what happened. Here was a little old woman, all blacked out. Now, her life was just as black as Judas's life. Hers was just as black. She's just as marred. She's just as part of this woman tree as the all rest of us was. And Judas was. But there was something different about her. Here was a little old woman, all blacked out, up here in front. She's all blacked out up here in front. But down here was a predestinated seed. That's the way all those things were happening during the Old Testament, was that Shekinah glory on that predestinated seed. Moses was the anointed word for that day. And the Shekinah glory came to it to bring it to pass. The light always shines on the seed. But that was only for Moses, only for the priest. Here was a little old woman, look, all blacked out up here in front, but down here was a predestinated seed. And when the light come, it scattered the darkness. Even though she wasn't born again, that predestinated seed, Brother Branham said, if the light strikes it, it's going to start bringing forth. There's no stopping it. Remember what he said about there's no sealing it up. When that light strikes, there's no sealing it up anymore. What Satan done in the garden caused there to be a seal put on the tree of life. They couldn't get to it. And when the light came, it scattered the darkness and it showed forth. The light, what was in her showed forth. Remember what the darkness showed out of Judas. But now when the light struck Judas, but darkness showed forth. The light strikes her, and the life of God shows forth. There's no missing it. There's no stopping it. There's no keeping it sealed. And it showed forth. We know Messiah is coming. And when he does, he will show us these things. And Jesus said, I am he. All right, so I broke that up to put that in. We're still not finished with the true Easter seal. But I just wanted to bring that in because of what he was getting ready to bring next. Now he's still talking about Jesus. He also broke another seal. I want to speak of it here.
I want to speak of here found over in Exodus. But I won't have time to get to the scriptures, but found it over in Exodus. When man had sinned and separated himself from the presence of God, Adam and Eve was in the presence of God, and they separated themselves from the presence. If they separate themselves from the light, it can't bring forth the seed that's in them. And they were only there in the light because they decided to stay in the light or not. God put it on them. It wasn't God was holding them there in the light. If God was holding them there in the light, they couldn't have failed. But God put the responsibility on them to stay there in that light. And they didn't. Separated himself from the presence of God, and he came to worship God. There was a veil that hung between the holy and the holiest of holies. So when he came to worship him, he couldn't get in the presence of the Shekinah. Inside the holiest of holies was the Shekinah glory. They were not permitted to go in there and to be anointed once a year. And a man going in there had to be anointed once a year, dressed right, blood on him, blood in his hand, blood in a charger to sprinkle the mercy seat. So in order for him to even go in on the behalf of the others, all this had to be. The Shekinah glory was so great until he lost his rod in there one year, come out without it. He left it. He took his staff in there, and when it was so great, he forgot it and then left it, bringing his rod. And when he went back, the thing had already come to life. A stick that had cut had come to life because it was in the presence of life. And think what Jesus done and to bring us into that. And that's why he was talking. There's no seal going to stop that now. He broke all the seals. Come out without, fine, come out without, bringing his rod. And when he went back, the thing had already come to life, and it was budded, and blossoms were all over it, because it was laying in the presence of the Shekinah glory. But there was a veil that hung between there, because there was sin upon the people. But, oh brother, when it was sprinkled that day, with the blood of Jesus Christ, a spirit of God rent the seal from the top to the bottom and brought man back. And now they could come into his presence. Now there could be a Pentecost. Now he could breathe on them and say, "Receive ye eternal life." The same thing he breathed on Adam. He brought man back. Not only kept him away from the presence of God, but he brought him back into the Shekinah glory, into the presence of God. His is dead life. Jesus said, if they did this in a green tree, what will they do in a dry? Talking about Jesus being the green tree, life, the living tree. See? This is what I was talking about him saying, talking about the man tree in other ways. This is what he's talking about. This is the green tree, the living tree, the man tree, Jesus. Being the green tree with life, they did. Look what they did to him. Life himself. Look what they did to him. What will they do to this formal, this old dead formal tree that has no life? See, now when the wrath of God is poured out. Remember, he's talking about those being sealed in to what they think is the truth, and they won't receive the truth. How can an old dead formal tree stand it when the green tree, it even perished the green tree and sent it to hell? The wrath of God poured out for the disobedience of sin sent the green tree to hell. What will it do in a dry tree when it strikes it? It has nothing. This first strain, this woman tree, She's the dry tree. She has no life in her. Remember what he said. What will it do in a dry tree when it strikes it? If the righteous will scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly be? Appear. That person that rejects the way, that person that knows better, that person that's been revealed to him, he's been showed it. And still he refuses to walk in it, in God's way. Remember what Brother Abraham said? They'll sit in the study and they'll come up to that part of the scripture and they'll turn real fast. They do the same thing with the message. I can tell you that. They'll do the same thing with the message. They do. And he still refuses to walk in God's way. What will happen to that person? What's it going to be? Yes, he broke that seal, the seal that kept us from the Shekinah glory, because sin was finished. Now, Brother Branham said in Future Home that you can get forgiveness for sin. This paid for our forgiveness of sin. And the thing that made you do it is still there, even though you got forgiveness. So there was more. It was something more that was going to take place. Brother Ram said, the reason we didn't all come forth that day when Jesus came forth was because there had to be that redemptive work that went on. Remember, we mentioned this a few services back after Brother Don preached about the people's ignorance. Now, the seal is the sign of a finished work. And we know that a seal, if you're going to seal a box car, well, they put all the work in it and store everything up, and then it's sealed till its destination. And we, the church ages, were sealed until the day of their redemption. Sealed. Any seal is a finished work. And when you write a document, then it's sealed at the end. Those that believed Paul's message, they were sealed that to the finished work, to the day of redemption. They were sealed to the day of redemption. They were sealed to that message because of what they lived there. It was the same God doing the same work. He was in those people, causing them to see Paul as the Word. And he was in Paul, making Paul the Word to the people. It was the same God doing that, that's doing what he's doing now. The same God. So they're accounted in that. Then it's sealed at the end. Never sealed until it's finished. Now the blood of goats and heifers and so forth would not take away sin. But when this was finished at Calvary, it took away sin. It took it away. It forgave you of it. They couldn't forgive you. Brother Bram said that the blood of the bulls and the goats, it just covered the sin. It didn't forgive anything. Now watch. At the Garden of Eden, to keep people from getting back to that tree, God set an angel there as a seal. And we've talked about this a little bit here lately. Brother Goomba had talked about it. To keep people from getting back to that tree, they couldn't go back and sit in its presence. There's done been something put between them. And this is what it was that was put between them. God set an angel there as a seal with a sword turning all the ways to guard that tree. And when he made his worship, and he come down. Now remember, who was at that tree? Who was that tree? It was Jesus. The tree of death was your mother. It's coming by a woman, people coming by women. The fall in the garden, Eve caused the fall in the garden. The tree of death was your mother. She brought you here in natural life. So this whole first life that we're born with, soul, spirit, body, it's all of death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Christ is the birth through spiritual life. He's another birth. If they'd had this birth to spiritual life back in the garden, then how could they have a birth into death after that? That's what I've been trying to say all this time. They couldn't have done it. Brother Branham said they went along undefiled for a while. They were virgins. They had to make a choice. Were they going to stay there or not? And God knew they wasn't going to stay there, because he had to have a man that needed salvation. He predestinated it that they wouldn't. Why would God make people that are full of his life and put them there and have his life turn against him? It just didn't happen. It's not going to happen. It didn't happen. She brought you here in natural life. That does not mean that God did not bring Adam and put him right there where he was. God brought Adam and put him right there. He came forth from the thought of God and brought him right there. But the express thought was Christ. That's where we all come from, was Christ. I want y'all to see that so bad, because if you don't, and we keep covering it up with that back there, we can't see how important it is what's going on right now. It covers it up. You think, oh, I'm going back to what they already had. But you're not going back to what they already had in that respect. You're not going back to a woman that would turn against God. You're going back to a woman that cannot turn against God. There's no way possible for her to turn away from God. You're not going back to a man that will go with his wife instead of staying with God's word. You'll be a man that will stay with God's word no matter what his wife does. That's where we're at. We're not going back under that covenant. We're born from Christ. We're not born of the woman tree anymore. That's what God freed us from. Now we're going back to no sin. We're going back to that spoken seed word. That's what God wanted to manifest. That's the only thing that he was doing. God is thought, he's word, and then his expression. And there's where the problem started. The expression. God can't lose his thought. His thought can't get perverted. He spoke his word. The Logos was there. You can't change that Logos. It's going to be that way forever and ever. It's not going to change. You can't pervert that. But then when he went to manifest it, there's where the problem. There's where he let Satan in. There's where he predestinated a man that needed salvation. Predestinated a soul. There wasn't nothing wrong with that soul when he gave it to him. But he had a choice and he perverted it himself. It's the soul that sinneth. The soul that sinneth. Not the spirit, not the flesh. The soul that sinneth. The soul will go into hell. The soul will be destroyed. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be yelling at y'all. And I'm not mad. I just don't want us to miss it. That's all. The tree of death was your mother. She brought you here in natural life. Christ is the birth through spiritual life. Now you see what I was saying about that, right? If Adam and Eve was Christ being brought here by spiritual life, then what in the world? How could they have come against God? You can't come against God. Not when you come into this message in this day. You can't come against him. There's no way. Brother Branham said, there's no way. The womb is sealed. The womb is sealed. Their womb was not sealed. If it had been sealed, then there's no way they could have failed. Now, I am not talking about the thought. I'm not talking about the word. I'm talking about that expression. That's where the problem happened, right there in that expression. All that live by the woman die. That's what we've been talking about this morning. How that they couldn't hear it. How Judas couldn't hear it. They live by the woman. And as long as we are born into this world and live by the woman, we're the same thing. It's when we're born of this other. When we're born of the Lamb's book of life that is different. All that live by the woman die. All that's born of the man lives. All that comes by the woman is natural. All comes by the man is spiritual. No, not the man here, not the flesh man. He's not talking about that one. He's talking about the man tree. He's talking about Christ. All that comes by that man. Not the man here, the man Jesus, the man Christ Jesus. Watch the tree, guarded, could not get back because there's no offering appropriated to take sin away. Nothing to forgive them. They can't come back to it. So therefore, when they come to worship, the Shekinah glory was behind the veil, veiled off from them. It was veiled off from them from the Garden of Eden. But when the day of Pentecost come, brother, when Jesus died on the Calvary, at Calvary, and finished the work, he didn't seal man out. He sealed man inside himself. And now we're sealed up and shut up in the presence of the Shekinah glory. Not only are we sealed in. Now this, remember, this is in 1961. There's things that he brings into greater light later on. Not only are we sealed in, but we're sealed in eternally. And that nothing changed about that. They were still sealed in eternally in the church ages. Amen. Oh, I like that. Sealed inside now. There's your real Easter seal. For by one Spirit we're all sealed into one body. You say, is the Holy Ghost a seal? Ephesians 4:30 said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherein you're sealed until the day of your redemption. That's the genuine, true Easter seal. Shows that sin has been paid for you. And God has accepted you. And you're sealed into Christ by the Holy Ghost. Sin is finished. The eternal seal has been finished. And who was that eternal seal? It was Christ. He, when he was broken, he broke that seal. What did Brother Bram say the seventh seal was? It's his coming. What did he say he come first? Right there. And so that's what I'm talking about, him brushing up against the seals and against the message that he brought after the seals. He was so close to it here. And so the next time we minister, then we'll go a little deeper into this, but into the man tree part of it and what that means to us in this hour. Nobody's mad at me, are they?
Sorry. It's all good.
Because I still love you, whether you're mad at me or not. Okay. I don't want to come here and keep saying these things. But when there's questions, and I feel like I hadn't got it across because there's questions, and then when I go in the study and I try to get away from it, I try to go this way, I try to go this way, and it comes back to this, I got to do what he says do. Amen. And so that's what I do. I do that. And I don't want to be controversial. I don't want to be confusing. And that's why I try to I've approached a lot of these things like 6 or 8 different ways now, trying to show the same thing. But brother and sister, we're born into that lamb's life. They weren't born into that lamb's life. If they were born into the lamb's life, they are the lamb. They are Christ. And Christ couldn't come against the word. When he come for us, did he come against the word anywhere? If he'd have come against the word anywhere, he wouldn't have been the proper sacrifice. That's what was going to open it to us. Amen. So let's stand. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you held me. Satan tried to take it away this morning, Lord, but you gave it back to me. And I thank you for it. Lord, there's no way on this earth I'd try to attempt this without you. And Lord, you know my heart, that if I ever tried to say my idea or my thoughts about something, I would just as soon as you strike me dead right here in this pulpit. I don't want to continue saying one thing to any person, not my wife, not any person sitting here or anybody listening. Lord, that I would ever say something like that of my own ideas.
If I do it and it's a mistake, Lord, I mispronounce my words or something, please forgive me and help us to understand. Lord, we have to understand one another by the Spirit. And we can't understand one another by the Spirit if one another is not the Word. That's why it's so important, Lord, for each individual to be one with you. You've told us that. We know that. And Lord, we pray that you bring that to pass. And we believe you are doing just that, Lord. We thank you for it and praise you and ask you'll go with us now. Be with those who couldn't be here. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.